Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide. Where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out freddiedangelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, freddiedangelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, everybody. We're Breakdown Shakedown. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Breakdown Shakedown. Welcome to the show, guys.
How are you, Shane?
What I do?
You guys want to go around the mic and introduce yourselves?
I'm Pat. I play guitar.
I'm Al. I play bass guitar. We're not going around the room. This is driving me nuts. Pat, why don't you start?
I'm Brian, I play the drums and do backup vocals.
I'm Joey. I also play guitar.
I'm Jay, and I like turtles. I sing.
That's such a classic, man. I like turtles. Well, yeah, man, I'm excited to be here, getting to hang with you dudes. It's kind of, it's been a long time coming.
That's because we keep canceling on you.
Well, yeah. I didn't want to, you know, out you guys on that.
I'm gonna out ourselves because I feel bad about it. Because this is like the fifth time we're like, yeah, we're doing it, and then the day of, you're like, oh no, somebody's sick or somebody's got this or.
Well, I mean, you know, between six schedules, I mean, it's tricky trying to find a date to find a time to get us all to sit down. But we worked it out. We're here today, and I'm excited to be here and get to hang with you guys. I guess. I was thinking, I did stop in and see you guys just the other night. We were Trainwreck, or no, sorry, Kirkwood
Station.
Brewing.
Kirkwood Station,
yeah.
It's kind of like a train wreck.
Yeah.
For us that night.
The show was, yeah. That was great, man. That was fun. That was actually my first time over there at Kirkwood. That was a fun hang over there and got to see you guys. And I was really enjoying the tunes. Obviously, I've seen you guys play also in the past, but... just a lot of great songs, man. That's the fun thing about what you guys do, and I mean it's all the hits and keep people dancing. I was singing along and having a real good time that night.
That's the goal, man. Yeah. A little bit of everything.
That's my favorite compliment that somebody can give us when we're at a show and somebody runs up to us and they go, "Your set list is awesome." I'm like, "Yes, thank you." Like I don't tell me that I'm good or that the band's good, like. Tell us that our set list is good, because I feel like that's what we work the hardest on, is putting a set list together that's all solid. You don't realize when you start a cover band how hard it is to pick songs that people like and keep everyone in the bar.
Keep some good energy going.
Happy, you know what I mean? You're not going to make everybody happy all the time, but if you can make all of them happy at some point, that's kind of the goal.
Yeah, when you read down the set list, it's kind of hard to see one band playing all that different kind of music.
We got a lot of weird stuff on there.
Well, I can remember from the other night what I saw you guys did, like Maroon 5 Sugar, Bruno Mars, Fuck You.
Bruno wrote that, though.
Bruno wrote it. That's what I was thinking, Yeah, but I also appreciate that you guys did the uncensored version. And,
it depends on the room, sir. Right.
Also, but my favorite censor that we have is in the Eagles. We play
the Blues game.
Life in the Fast Lane. I haven't seen a it usually says goddamn thing, but he always says gosh darn thing. Yeah. It makes me laugh so hard every time. I'm like,
it's like the Mormon version.
Gosh darn thing.
I've never even realized.
Frick, dude, it's so funny. Every time I lose my shit.
It's funny.
But you guys threw in like Friends in Low Places. What was Led Zeppelin, Rock and Roll?
That's a loser.
So, yeah, I mean...
I think we threw Pony in between those two by Genuine.
But, like you
said... crazy in, like, five or six songs.
Sure.
I think that was the end of our set. It was, like, Sugar, Maroon 5.
Yeah,
Sugar,
you came right at the last. Yeah. Place was closing down.
Garth Brooks, and then Genuine, and then Led Zeppelin to close it out.
You're literally just describing the last bit of our set.
So you guys can leave at like 11:30 if you're there, and you won't even have to stay to know what we play.
But, I mean, just right there, like you're saying, five songs, that's, decades apart, and many different genres and styles and everything else, and to be able to pull it all off like you guys do, I mean, that's huge, man. So, it was a lot of fun. Like I said, it was a real good time over there.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I can tell when you took your shirt off that.
Yeah. I was getting into it, man. So when you throw,
we start playing P.D. Pablo. You know what happens?
Twisted like a helicopter.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, we're actually back there. I don't know when this is going to come out. If it's going to come out this week, we're back there Friday night, the Sixth.
Yeah, not the 28th is Sunday.
This weekend. Sorry. That is a good time.
I'm like, it's not the 28th. That's a different day.
But then you guys, so you're doing the 26th at Kirkwood Brewing Station, and then on the 27th, you guys are heading to Tulsa?
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hard Rock Cafe. Yeah.
So if you're in the greater Tulsa area, come on out.
I actually have three people coming to this one.
Really?
That's not a joke.
Wow.
Yeah, no, we play at the Hard Rock Casino at a place called
Bring that many people to local shows.
It's a tough sell, boys. They'll say my aunt and uncle want to ride their bike down there in March.
We're getting around, I think, next weekend. Where are we at next weekend?
Next weekend, we actually are off.
That's correct.
Well, the Thursday before Friday, me and Joey are playing at a Pegs in High Ridge. If you want to eat some pizza and drink chicken, or drink chicken wings.
Right.
Here's the deal. If you blend a chicken wing, I'd probably still drink it.
But then the weekend after, I think we've got some stuff going on the weekend of February 2nd and 3rd. On the 9th and 10th, 9th we're going to be at Cyberg's on Dorset. I can even tell you what time if it would tell me on my notes. If that were in my notes, Pat.
I think it's 9-1 at Cyberg's.
It's 9-1.
Is it 9-1? Okay. I've never played it, guys. So.
Cyberg's is like the Helen Fitzgerald's of
North County.
North.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I've never been to Helen Fitzgerald's.
Well, it's a lot
like
Cyberg's.
I've been to Cyberg's, man. Come on.
Go back to Illinois.
We have Cyberg's in Illinois. Nobody plays music at it. It's just loud drunk people sometimes. That's it.
Those are my favorite.
But that's what we've got coming up in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, honestly, the way our schedule's going, you never know what could pop up in between there. We get last-minute shows all the time.
Sure.
Like the Blues game last week.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man. That's going to be pretty cool playing Scott Trade Center.
It is pretty awesome. You feel pretty cool, I'm not going to lie. I feel like I've done something in my life playing there.
Right.
It's cool.
And then the one time we played there, Charles Glenn came up and it was like,
yeah.
He actually liked us, and I was like, no way, dude, that's kind of wild.
Charles Glenn watched our whole set and then hung out with us afterwards. Like, and it was cool.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Charles Glenn sings the national anthem. If you watch the Blues game, you've seen him. He's the guy that crushes the anthem before every game. Yeah. He's a badass.
Yeah. My friends,
and he's got the Charles Glenn band too, I believe. So.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Multiple opportunities to see him.
My friends, the River Kittens just did the anthem over there, and
I heard that. That was great.
Yeah, it was really
a bluegrassy, folky thing. I saw it on Facebook.
Well, and I just love that they're incorporating a lot of local music over there. I mean, like I said, River Kittens just recently. My friend Joe Metzger played some blues over there. The Hard Loss played over there. Some punk stuff in between.
They had an Ozzy tribute band too. The what is it? The Madness Diary of a Madman. I think I saw. Yeah.
But yeah, right. I said, it's just nice that they're supporting all of our locals.
They have stepped up their community game in the last couple years.
When it gets nicer incredible. There, they do the outdoor stage too.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get to play out there and actually play a full set, because we only play for an hour. The coolest part is they pump it through the whole stadium and then you're on the Ava or whatever it is they're calling it these days.
The Jumbotron.
Yeah, I want to say Jumbotron, but every time I do, I'll get
it's not
me
a Jumbotron.
Pat gives me a dirty look. It's not a Jumbotron. It's
Ava screen.
It's an Ava. It's a screen and it's jumbo.
It looks even more jumbo,
like,
with my face on it.
Like, you look at. I wish somebody just had like a ladder you could get to the back, and like there's probably like a tiny sticker around that says Jumbotron on it. And like everybody's just saying it wrong.
Yeah. Well, you guys said you're heading to Tulsa this weekend. You guys. Is this the first, like, I know you guys done some stuff at the lake and things like that, but is this the farthest hitting the road you
it's
guys
definitely
are
the furthest.
I guess
this is going to be the second time we played down there.
Yeah.
We went to, what was it, Indiana?
Evansville, Indiana we've done. But yeah, Tulsa almost twice that long, so yeah.
Yeah.
It's the furthest we've been away from home yet, so.
Yeah.
It's good. It's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty wild, to getting out. You know, seeing some different audiences and stuff.
Exactly.
It's a good time.
The Hard Rock too, so it's like there's tons of music memorabilia everywhere. That's like,
yeah,
it's cool. Like I walked in and like I grew up listening to Motown, so like I walked by the Temptation suits and they all just kept going. I was like, skirt, and I look up and everybody is gone. and I'm in this middle of this casino, like, where do we check in? And like, my girlfriend was even gone. Like, everybody, they all just kept walking. I was the only one just standing at the Temptation suits, like, ah. It was awesome. They have, I mean, they had Slash, like an 81 Les Paul that Slash had played and like donated. Yeah. Like, they had a lot of cool stuff in there. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the coolest part for me when we first got there, just walking through that. Like, the casinos in St. Louis are pretty cool, but like, they're not grabbing my attention. Like, hey, look at all this memorabilia, like, right. The way it is at the Hard Rock. You know, they had like one of Elvis's guns.
Right.
Just random eclectic pieces of people.
And his white jumpsuit by the elevators, like a circle glass.
Yeah.
There was like six armed guards.
Well, we have a Hard Rock cafe, you know what I mean? But like,
yeah. It's not,
it's to that extent. No, yeah, exactly. I mean, like, the memorabilia is pretty cool. But
we have Dan Marcello's black shirt and gym shorts.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Got those Dickie shorts.
You probably didn't wash them.
I was just wondering. Like you said, this is the second time heading to Tulsa and then in Evansville. You mentioned also.
Did you see this thing?
We're doing this podcast right now. I look over and Joey has a freaking dildo on his phone.
It came up.
I'm
like, it wasn't a dildo. It was a fucking.
It was a vibrator. But
you also may want to buy. Is that what it came up on?
Previously searched.
My Safari.
Yeah, exactly. Customers ultimately purchase this. Like,
customers who purchase this.
He's been looking at the 3-inch version, but they ultimately got the 6-inch.
Customers who purchase Gagball also purchase.
Anyway,
sorry to get distracted. I just thought it was a strange thing to look over.
I'm trying to find
it
again. I'm like,
yeah, I bet.
Oh boy, this is a day in the life.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Yeah, and we're back. Yeah.
I edit most.
No way, dude.
Just like trying to like knock it out.
I'm trying to grab my phone so I can show you guys.
I thought you were trying to like, dude. What are you doing?
Is there I was gonna ask you, like, do you guys, I mean, is there from Tulsa to St. Louis, is there much different? I mean, everybody still loves the same songs, or do you guys throw in some different things?
You could play Sweet Child of Mine in Korea, and it would still
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, I think the set transposes right. Just fine.
I think it's more of an age thing than it is a place thing.
Mm-hmm. Although, I will say the country music that we have in our set seems to do better in Tulsa, as far as, I mean.
Yeah.
We played Tennessee Whiskey, and it was like dance floor was packed.
Well, you play to the demo, you know.
Right.
But I mean, then we have like gigs like we've played Tin Roof over by the ballpark, and like it's a younger crowd, so like some of the older tunes don't translate as well. But like,
I still there's still the something stuff went over good. There,
yeah, the country stuff pretty much universally goes over well because there's at least one or two rednecks in the crowd. Like,
yeah,
I know this song.
People who aren't necessarily huge music fans tend to migrate towards country music too because it's just easier, I guess, for them to be like, oh, this song's fun.
Yeah.
I can listen to it when I drive my car. I mean,
it's straight up.
Yeah.
Country music just straight up.
You're right.
Well, you guys don't do a ton of country though, do you?
Like, we do in towards the beginning of our set.
Yeah.
I'd say there's probably eight or nine songs.
We play like a Keith Urban.
But I mean, if you're going to consider Rascal Flatts and Jason Aldean, which they certainly are.
I don't know.
Are we talking? I mean,
we're all like five,
do we consider Wagon Wheel country?
I mean, drop C sharp. How country can it be? Like, I'm sorry. I'm just saying, dude. Like,
it's hella country.
Jason Aldean.
It's today's country.
Hey, just because it swings a little bit doesn't mean it's country, man.
Yeah. It's like southern rock.
We have like a metal energy going on too when we play that song.
Well, that song's kind of
it's in C sharp.
Yeah, it's like, metal stage.
It's the heaviest song we've got.
Yeah. Anyway, I hate that song.
I like it.
I was gonna.
Yeah, let's all name songs we hate.
Oh my god, half the list. Just give me the fucking list.
Let's name songs that we like.
The ones we're learning.
I was like,
that's the worst part. I've been in a cover band since I was like. Old before I could even get into a bar, so it's like some of these songs I've been playing for like years, and it's just like you beat them. You can't not play them though. Like Sweet Child of Mine, you can't not play it because every cover band in St. Louis plays it, and everybody loves it. It like the opening riff, as soon as you hit the opening riff, everybody in the crowd's like, "Woo!" You know, like instant just drunk, yelling. You don't have to be drunk. They just yell because it's well, that's they just know it.
I think that's kind of the joke, too, with Skinner. Like, Sweet Home Alabama just, like, renamed to Woo because, like, as soon as you hear that lick, you know, it's like...
Renamed to Woo?
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
you know, we actually just had an argument about what song was worse in practice today. Sweet Home Alabama or Simple Man.
Yeah.
And I was like, I hate Simple Man. I'm like, he's like, it's the worst song they've ever done. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Sweet Home Alabama might take the cake for me because it's... It's like the just redneck anthem.
Yeah, but Simple Man is just so it's so drab. Like this.
Here's
a simple man. Yeah, what the fuck does that mean?
When this comes out, I want everybody to comment on the Facebook post that Shane posts which one they hate the most. We're gonna take a poll.
A or B? Yeah, I like that, man. We should do some polls on that.
Let's find out what the people.
I like to get proven right.
Yeah. You I was thinking, I mean, because, like, I feel like cover bands. My buddy Spanky, he does, like, dueling piano gig stuff, and he gets a lot of requests.
So he's good.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's a really talented guy. But he gets all
he's
these...
He's got four arms. Does he want to be in a band? Or?
Yeah. But he gets all these cover requests, and it's always, like, the same, you know, like...
Piano Man.
Well, yeah, Piano Man.
I mean, that's probably that's like
Tiny
and
Dancer.
Then,
yeah,
you get like well, and it's he always takes pictures.
Strictly
of,
80s Jewel.
Yeah, he takes pictures of them, and it'll be always like, you know, Elton John's Piano Man or something like that. You know, and it's like they'll have it like all wrong and
right. Elton John's
and,
Piano Man.
Yeah, and then you know, of course, like what's the Sweet Caroline and you know, like, but. So do you guys get a lot of that too? I mean, everybody requests the same couple of things at all the shows. And,
I mean, you always get that asshole who says Freebird.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to just learn it. I mean, we can do it, and we just need to start. We'll play it.
I'll play it.
That'll be the biggest regret
again,
that
we'll
guy's
night.
I think.
Like, think about it. That's like 9 minutes of just the same bullshit.
You got it, sir. Yeah. You have time tonight. Yeah. Come on.
Exactly.
Everybody tell this guy thanks.
Yeah. Exactly. And somebody buy this guy a drink.
I'm pretty sure Chris Stapleton pulled that move off at a show. Like,
yeah.
They did like the full like 9 minute version of it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so I mean, yeah, it's a great move, man. If you guys can pull that off, like, just like they'll shut them up or hopefully
yeah, you know, always go for it's $100 song, sir.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's $100 song.
Yeah. But that's happened to
I play for $100.
Yeah.
That's happened to you guys before on New Year's Eve, right? You guys did. Somebody was like, you guys gotta play Pearl Jam.
Oh, that was the owner of Social House.
Oh, okay.
He was like, play Pearl. And that was our other, me and Brian, the drummer, our other band was with two of the guys in Queens Boulevard, who I know you guys had on here.
Greg and Tyler.
And we were playing at Social House, and Tony, the owner, walks up, and he's like, just trash, you know? And he's like, yeah, I'll give you $100 if you play a Pearl Jam song. And I look at Greg, and Greg's like, I kind of know Yell Ledbetter. And then Brian, you know, he's like drums. He's like, yeah, I can play it. And Tyler just follows along. So he's like, I'm like, do it. And he's like, do you know the words? I'm like, nope. So I was just like, oh, I was a fear. I didn't know anything. I sang the whole song. And then everybody was like, that was awesome. I'm like,
yeah.
I didn't say a single English word in that whole song.
I mean, that's, I don't think Eddie does either, though. Even flow, I mean, that's about the only word you can understand in that song, it seems like.
Yeah.
That's about it.
90s were a weird time.
I always loved that SNL bit they did with Adam Sandler as Opera Man.
Yeah, man.
And when he's like, I'm not saying I'm gay, I'm just saying there's a time in every man's life where he questions his own sexuality.
Yeah.
he's like,
but it wasn't like, he wasn't actually like saying the words, like it was just like you had the, what do you call them?
Subtitles,
like closed captioning. That was hilarious, man. I used to watch those all the time.
Yeah, man. So how do you guys just listen to the radio and find a good tune and think to throw it into the set list, like, or is there, do you guys have a process?
Yeah,
that's that and the aha moments while we're listening to something and we're like,
I have a radio
going. Perfect.
Like, we just learned 1985 by Bowling for Soup, and I was at
work
one day.
Dude, you ruined it.
Oh, shit. Can we cut that out?
Yeah.
So I was at work one day and I picked up the phone and texted Pat and I'm like, hey, 1985 by Bowling for Soup. He's like, and I'm like, cool. So that's like how that got started. And then I think we went to practice and talked about it later. But
right.
And not to ruin the Disney magic, but a lot of it too is like, how easy is this to get put together?
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of last three chords. Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, like, and that's not to discredit like what we're doing. I'm just saying, like, there's so much material to go through, like, to take a song, like say Freebird, I mean, that it takes a decent amount of time to sit down, like, especially with the solos, if you want to nail them. And we're being that we really like to take the song and straight off the record and just do it, you know, transplant it, basically. We don't like to just say, oh, we can just fucking ablet this part of that part. Like, no, let's try to make it to where they understand what's going on. Like, it sounds like the record and they can dance to it at a club, you know? And so, like, if you grab a song like Bowling for Soup, it's fucking four chords, and we still fuck it up somehow.
We're that good.
Yeah. Most of the popular stuff is pretty easy to play, though.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, especially, like, when it comes to drums, like...
Unless it's pop. Then you gotta get tracks, and that's a whole nother nightmare.
Dude, no way. I mean, think about Sugar, Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Four chords.
Right.
Whole time. Mm-hmm. Then Brian's just sitting there like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Dim, dim, dim.
I sing what I know. When it comes
to popular cover music, it is not the most difficult on the drums. That's
for right. Sure.
Yeah. I see a lot of people who talk a lot of crap on cover bands, and to an extent I get it, because it's like you don't have to write your songs, you don't have to, but like the problem with playing a cover band, like I was told the other day, we were talking about it at the blues game, like the national anthem's the hardest song in the world to sing because everybody knows it.
Right.
You know, like with a cover song, like if you muff your original song and you're at Pops and you know 90% of the people there have no idea who you are, no one's gonna know. But if you sing the wrong word to, you know, like I said, Sweet Child of Mine, everybody's gonna know because they sing it, they know it. And same with tones, you know, like I feel like tone is a lot of it too. Like if I'm singing a country song, you don't sing it with a country accent, it sounds weird. So I sing like Rascal Flatts, like I've lived on a farm my whole life, but it sounds probably fake, but I do it anyway.
Yeah. I was thinking like you know, there's a weird thing about cover bands, like when you'll like learn a hit song on the radio and you're playing it out and people are loving it, and all of a sudden you hit that mark where it'll totally like clear the dance floor, like there's that,
yeah, like it's hot for like 3 months and then it goes away, like Rude. Remember when we had our old bass player want us to learn that, you know, that magic song, why you gotta be so rude. So we learned it, and then like the next week he came back to practice, he's like, I don't want to play that no more. Okay, thanks.
It's out already. They beat it up on the radio.
Right, well that's the thing. You spend the night and learn it, and then it's gone. And then, but like sometimes, you know, you're saying Bowling for Soup and Third Eye Blind, maybe, and all this stuff, like, so after they're gone for a little while, you can throw it back in, and then it's fun again. It's like it's, you know, obviously those are, you know, 15 years old or whatever.
Yeah, throwback always helps.
Yeah. I feel like the 90s songs really kill.
Sure. Yeah, they do. Because
people, you know, in their 20s and 30s are the ones who are going to the bars now, so that's like the songs that they grew up when they were younger. Sure. So when they go out, they're like, oh my God, I haven't heard this in years. So I like to sneak those kind of random eclectic.
Though we did play Tonic the other night, and it just like, it was like, Animal Control came in and got everybody off the stage.
I don't know if that one's so hot for the cover band.
Yeah. No.
I love the song.
I
love
it. Yeah, I do too. And we kill it too. Like we destroy that song.
Coming down the sides.
like it's not a. It's just like
guys, we just made this decision on the podcast. That song's gone.
Yes, I agree. It's. I was actually going to talk to you guys about that later. But no, okay. It's just one of those songs that's like it's a cool song and people like it and people nod their head and kind of like.
Oh, train wreck. Okay, people like are dancing. I don't know what you're talking about. I could have swore the floor was filled with the train wreck, but.
With the two people.
Huh?
Yeah. That chick with the onion. All right, yeah, we're bringing it up now, dude. There was this chick, fucking train wreck.
I hope to God she's listening to this podcast. My wife was there, so like, I can talk about this.
Yeah, dude. Onion booty, if you listen.
Dude, I came in. I swear to God, I came in. I was late. I couldn't find a place to park. I had all my gear in my hands. I run around the corner. Everybody's looking at me. I'm already in a bad mood because like I'm just having a rough day. And I turn around, I'm like, I'm fucking late. I set my shit. I'm like, look at that girl's ass. like in mid-conversation with Joey. Yeah. He's like, oh, I saw it already. Looked like two watermelons had stuck down the pants. Jesus.
It was disproportionate, for sure.
It was
like, you ever see, like, what is that? The Pegasus? Tiny waist. The half-horse, half-man?
Yeah. It was weird.
You know, like, if you cut the middle section out of a Pegasus and just put the ass on the man, that's what it looks like. God bless her.
Anyway, we love our fans.
Oh, they weren't a fan. There was a couple. They could have. There could have been no music. They literally slow danced to every song and made out the whole time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. Like I think they were the only two on the.
They were the only two dancing. They didn't realize that the song wasn't good. They were into each other. It didn't
anyway.
Yeah. You well, you guys along with all these tunes, you guys just did. Been working with my
got
buddy.
A hot track of Joey blowing his nose. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey man, it's gonna make a nice.
He's like right in the middle.
It's the season.
Yeah, it's allergy season.
You guys just
a little bit of cocaine.
Working with my buddy Freddie D'Angelo.
Yo, so Freddie is the man. He's so good, man.
Yeah,
and he's so easy. He's super easy. He was, to work with.
He's shout out to Freddie and Montel. This is how it's done.
Which is a song that we need to learn.
Yes, yes, yeah. Hey, yeah, that's one that we're adding that one in.
Montel was his second cameraman, and like every time I said his name, I just kept going. This is how I couldn't not every time. I'm like never met anybody named Montel before, so yeah.
He was a real good sport about it. Yeah, he so was. Thanks.
Yes. He really was. No, car, dude, he started singing, and Freddie and Montel they have like a little dance whenever somebody pulls it out. So I mean, it happens all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure we're not the first person. Like, to.
That's got to be like a thing that they plan, or else that's just what. What some people do is just start dancing when other people start singing. I don't know what happens, but I don't know.
I'm white. I don't understand.
It was a good. It was a nice situation to be in.
Impromptu dancing. I can't dance.
It made me want to dance. Yeah. Like they started dancing. I'm like, oh yeah, we're doing this. That's okay.
Montel was trying to give me at the video shoot that we shot. He was trying to give me pointers on. He's like, here, man, you got to step and skip and do a dance. I'm like, man, I can't dance. Get out of here.
I have a cousin named Jolene, and every time I see her, you have, to sing the Jolene. So I'm sure certain names, certain people have to deal with it every time somebody says her name. But yeah, that's fun, man. So you guys just did a little video with him. That'll be coming out soon. So.
Yeah, we're hoping next 6-8 weeks, something to that effect. We shot a new promo video. I almost said. Something very different there.
Something that we should have done.
Here's the deal, Pat. If you shoot one of those videos, I'm going to hard pass. Thank you.
Well, you know, Joey was getting the supplies on his phone earlier.
So. Props for the video shoot.
Got to restart. But, we shot this new promo video. Almost did it again.
Just trying to essentially up our value, up the worth, give a better product, really show people that have never seen us what we have to offer, kind of how, you know, that we have a good time. We're, you know, we try to make it more of an entertaining night than just going to the bar and being background noise. We do try to command a little bit of attention and run the night, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was cool to see.
Looking at the mic.
It was cool to see some pyro and all that going on.
Oh, yeah. Quit giving away too much.
Hey, it was, you know,
we put a picture up.
You guys leaked it.
I guess we shouldn't tell them about the tigers now.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
We didn't set anything on fire either.
No, we didn't. And
almost my eyebrows.
Shout out to Kevin K. Water, man.
Yes.
That dude is a
everybody
wizard.
In Arch City Sound is top notch.
Dude, that's
they put up with all of our shit for 3 hours, which is most of it. Yeah. Me and Joey got pretty drunk.
Well, it was about an hour
of trying to get the fire cans to work in the first place.
And Kevin was
6 seconds of video time, probably.
Kevin was really patient with us because we had to get him addressed separately so he could do the pop pop.
Yeah.
Instead of,
I was very adamant.
Whoosh.
You know what?
It had to be pop pop.
You know what? I didn't tell you guys this. He walked up to me afterwards when we were filming Brian's part, and he goes, "Hey, I'm not gonna lie, the pop pop looked cool." He's like, "The pop pop made a difference. I'm glad we spent the time." He actually came to me and said that. So
that's
I was like,
good.
Cool.
That's
at least
good.
He wasn't pissed off for us.
Yeah. I was getting worried about how patient they were going to be
right.
with
right.
the whole situation.
By pop pop, we mean the left
you'll
one.
See, they'll,
right.
they'll see it.
You'll see the video.
But if anybody doesn't know, Kevin works for Arch City Audiovisual Services, and he does lighting and I think some audio engineering there as well. Don't quote me on that. Sorry, Kevin. I don't know what you really do. But he did like the Story of the Year show this last weekend, and he also did the Fivefold Farewell. He's also doing like the Purple Row coming up. Like he does a ton in the St. Louis area, and he's a freaking wizard. If you need anybody for lighting, that's your dude.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, man. And Freddie, for your video and photo needs, man. That guy's
yeah, man.
Yeah.
He's crushing
one of the best
he's
people in the
so
scene.
He's just so easy to work with. Sometimes I feel awkward in front of a camera, but when Freddie's behind it, I'm like, cool. Like, I don't feel so weird, you know? He's just, like, relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely made it super chill.
Yeah. I've been on set for a couple of... this was part of the Inimical Drive music video he shot, and I was in the audience at the Discrepancies show, one of the live videos he shot and stuff. So, but it's just fun to watch him work and like,
yep.
and watch him continue to grow in this town and as and develop his name and he's doing some big stuff. So
yeah, he is.
He just enjoys it. You can just tell that he enjoys doing what he's doing. So
yeah.
that's why
and he's, a cool
comes out.
Right. Yeah. He's a cool dude.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah, man.
I never really cared for him.
And
totally kidding.
I'm sure the feeling's mutual.
Yeah, I'm sure it is too.
We actually met him when we filmed our original promo video.
Yeah.
By accident.
Yes, we had it booked for some lady to come out and do live footage of us, and she ended up canceling 2 days before, I guess. Well, she actually contacted Freddie, and then that's how we all got together.
Yeah,
one
I got
day,
a,
one day's notice.
Got a hold of Freddie on a Friday morning and said, "Hey, man, I need a last minute video tomorrow night, and it's a live show. Can you come out and do it?" And I told him what we had to work with budget wise, and he was like, "Generally speaking, no, but you're in a tight spot, and I get it, and I can, you know, sympathize with that." So he came out and he did it, and he crushed it for the circumstance.
Yeah.
It was exactly what we needed.
Yeah,
and
he made
was,
us look way cooler
it was great,
than we actually are.
So from then on, I told him, I was like, if we need anything, I won't go to anyone else. Like, you're the dude. So, he's a badass.
Yeah, man.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see it.
So are we.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still waiting on that.
I'm guessing that'll
be on.
It was
2 days ago. Like,
very impatient.
Yeah, I see that.
We got to do a little more studio stuff. And
we're gonna.
It'll be ready to roll.
Yeah.
I guess that'll be on Facebook after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah. You guys have a YouTube channel?
We do. It has one video, and it's the video we're talking about. So
the OG video.
Yeah, we have talked about getting into like trying to get some more content up and stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah,
but yeah, we do have a YouTube channel.
We drop one hot video every 6 years. So
like, well, Pat and Joey, they were working on a video on Sunday, and that'll be up soon, hopefully. But I'm sure YouTube will probably take it down way too quick.
For the kids.
Yeah.
That's what we called it.
Oh man.
That might have been the funniest thing Pat's ever said.
I know. I'm proud of you.
No shit. I want to hug you after this.
So we got, like I said, we do have Facebook. You can follow Breakdown Shakedown on there for more dates and RSVP to the events there and things. You guys, and like I said, the YouTube channel, you can click that subscribe button. But yeah, I think it'll be fun to get some more live videos and different things like that. And up there, get some more content.
Sure.
Seems like that's the...
I'm not going to lie. We definitely kind of... We're slacking our social media, but that's going to change because...
Yeah.
It's got to change.
We've also been busy gigging. We've had the holidays.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff going on right now. So
we're still a new band too. So we're figuring it out. You know. None of us are new to bands. I was just being sarcastic. Yeah. I was in like every band downtown, so in the greater St. Louis metro area.
It's not getting old at all.
No. Not at all.
You should be proud, man. Everybody wants.
Yeah, it's because you're good. That means everybody calls Owl when they need somebody to play in their band. Nobody calls me.
Don't you ever leave us. For that. Don't you ever leave.
Do what?
Don't you ever leave.
Yeah, you guys are pulling the goalie on me somehow. You guys are the only ones who actually pay me, so there's like. Oh, man. I can't leave. I can't leave.
So you mentioned you're joking about being a new band, but how long has Breakdown Shakedown been an official band?
We've been hard at it for probably, I don't know, almost 2 years.
I think a little longer.
Longer than that.
This lineup's probably going on a year.
I'll be 2 years in July.
Oh really? Yeah, forgot about
that.
Time flies when you're having fun, buddy.
Right.
So yeah, it's 3 years probably.
Counting down the hours.
Yeah, I think I joined. It was like August of 2015.
I found Pat on Craigslist.
That's exactly how
I was like. I was in a cover band and we broke up, and I was in a band for a while, and I was like, you know, I miss being in a band. So I Joey, I'm like, Joey's a great guitar player. I'm like, I wonder what Joey's doing. So I talked to him on Facebook, and I'm like, cool, let's have practice. So he's like, I could find a couple guys or whatever. So we threw a thing together, and then we've since, you know, rotated some members, and then I put an ad out on Craigslist for
a guitar
player, yeah. And Pat replied back.
Sent a list of 25 songs.
Pat thinking that he's actually a guitar player, he sent an email.
Pat was on the wrong form.
He was, but. Yeah. He was
looking to make another one of those videos.
Oh, man.
No, but it ended up working out awesome.
Yeah. I've heard, you know, obviously there was always like these terrible horror stories of Craigslist, but I've heard a lot of bands coming together through Craigslist, and it's always a lot of them have some great success stories out of it. So yeah. It's cool to hear.
We're not one of them, but yeah.
Well, that's kind of crazy that. So you guys didn't know each other then before?
Joey and I had played some shows. Our old bands had played some shows together, so I knew of him, but we hadn't actually met until the first night we jammed. Mm-hmm. And that was the first night I met Brian and Jay. I had known Al for quite some time before that, but he wasn't like quite brought years. In at that point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to gig with Jay and Brian way back in the day.
We were like, God, maybe
like 10 years ago.
He was in the New Translation then, so that's
he's probably younger than you guys too.
I was probably 22, and Al might have been
18, 19
probably. Yeah.
So
it all kind of came full circle.
Yeah.
So,
is there? Do you guys? Obviously having. Either currently or past playing in original bands and stuff, is do you guys feel like there's the one difference, the one big, you know, pros and cons or anything between the two? Like, you get for you guys?
I think personally, a cover band it was always more difficult for me anyway, for a singer standpoint. Right. When you write your music, you write in your wheelhouse, so you're like, okay, I could definitely sing this. But when you're singing cover music, you know, you don't get that choice. You got to kind of, it's. I mean, I think it's harder. I mean, I don't know about other instruments-wise, but for a singer, I definitely think it's harder to be a cover band singer than it is
to be
an original singer.
Cover band, yeah.
Yeah.
Playing guitar, too, yeah.
You got to not master one style. You got to try to master all of them.
Yeah. Learning other people's styles and mimicking. Yeah. It's hard.
Exactly.
Not only that, like, I've never been in an original band that had to play for, you know, three hours worth of material.
Most definitely.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, that's
45 minute set.
Yeah, I mean, like, 45 is like, you know, you're a headliner. Set. You know what I mean? You know?
You're an opener at Pops, you play like six songs. If you're lucky, if you could squeeze six in.
Well, and that was always the deal with like new original bands. It was like, all right, we need six tunes so we can get an opening slot and start playing or whatever.
Get our name out there.
You know, this is the first, like, real cover band that I have ever been a part of, and like Pat got a hold of me and was like, hey man, you know, here's our set list. And I'm like, holy crap, this is a lot of stuff to learn. So I mean, it took me like freaking almost like 2-3 weeks just to like comb through everything and like figure all the tunes out. And like,
and then it still takes a long time to remember every part of all those songs too.
You know? exactly, to retain all of that, and then also to stand on stage and have a good time while you're doing it, and especially because it's not your music,
right?
You know what I mean?
Not nearly as
you don't necessarily enjoy playing.
Yeah, you're in the jukebox, so like, I mean, you gotta have fun being in the jukebox, which you have your own ways of doing that. You know, Jameson.
That's good.
You know, I always thought it's much harder to do this. It's much harder to do this.
I remember when we put the band together before I was even in the band, we were starting to talk about playing out. Like, okay, I think we're ready. We practiced for like 6 months before we even thought about booking a show, you know. Like, all right, we only got 30 songs. You know, like, we only have 30 songs and we still needed to add more.
Right.
Man, there's a just repertoire.
We crunched it out there for a while.
We're learning like 5 songs a week for like 2 months straight. You know?
Is there a song that you guys can think of that was like deceivingly hard to learn? Like, because a lot of the stuff you hear on the radio every day and you're like singing along or whatever, and like, but then like to actually go to learn to play it and you're like, man, it actually more to it than I thought.
I think this goes in line with the whole, you know, the hardest song to sing is National Anthem.
Right.
With at least with bass stuff, or maybe even with drums, is the repetition. So like, Give Me Three Steps for me is always the one that screws me up, because like the where you do the stuff is like, I zone out and I'll start playing bap 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 da ba da 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 da, but like I don't think about what I'm doing next.
That's 40% of the song.
It is exactly like, but it repeats so many times. But there's like added stuff you don't necessarily go to the root every time at the end of the phrases, you know.
Right.
You know, there's like little licks and stuff, and you have to know where those are, or else it sounds like garbage, you know. So like,
we've been practicing Semi-Charm Kind of Life for like a couple months now, and the band has it.
I can't believe that you just said that couple, like you actually admitted to a couple months.
It's a couple months. Because like, that's a song, you know, it's one of those songs that I've heard 100,000 times, but I never really sat down and like listened to it or listened to what he's saying. You just do the dudes while you're driving in the car, and then the rest of you are like, I'm a semi, my, 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 and you're just like, dude, dude. So like, when I actually had to learn the words, I was like, that's what he's saying? Like, you know, like I looked up the words and I'm like, half this don't even make sense. Like, it just doesn't stick. It's not sticking to me.
Well, he didn't know the song was about crystal meth.
No, I had no clue. Like, did you?
No.
Doing
crystal meth to lift you up until you break, it won't stop. I was like, what? Yeah. That happy song is about smoking meth.
Smoking meth. Getting a blowjob. Being high on meth, getting a blowjob.
Yeah.
What the song's about.
Fun for the family.
Yeah.
Bring your kids out.
Yeah. Bring your kids. We'll play all these songs.
Matt and Joey will watch them for free.
Oh, God.
You're not going to be able to use any of this.
I don't know. It's just like, and that song, too, is like, it's like a rap, you know? So it's like, you gotta be quick with that.
And I'm not.
Yeah.
He is very white.
Yeah. My buddies, they had a cover band they would occasionally throw in like California Love in there.
Yeah.
And Jameson plays guitar and would play the talk box and do that, you know, get that sound. But then they would try that Tupac verse on California Love is like so fast,
right?
So it's like, it's a tricky one to try to throw in there. I mean, it sounds great when you can pull it off, but like some of those raps, they've tried to do something like that.
We tried to do Ride With Me and Jay can't rap, so
like, yeah, here's the deal.
Well, and the problem that I have with it is that I grew up on country grammar. Like, that was like, that album like changed how I looked at rap, because I was never really exposed to it. And then, like, my buddy had this album. I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. Like, this is rap. Like, it's about St. Louis. It's kind of cool. Like, check it out. I'm like, oh, I kind of like rap. So I got to learning, you know, more about, you know, Pac and everything. Most more stuff from the 90s. But, like, so I know every single word on that album. Mm-hmm. And, like, so I'm sitting there like, no, man, you got to do it like this or whatever.
You should just play bass.
I can't play. The problem is the syncopation in that. Like, I can do the, Jay, you're going to play bass on that.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
It's easy.
I'm in. I'm sure it is.
It's easy. It's just bass.
You just stand on stage.
I mean, anybody can play bass.
Stand on stage with no bass and rap, though?
Do what?
I'll wear a do-rag,
dude. I don't care. Like, I will sell it.
You should so totally
You got to bring one towel. to swing it.
No, I want the Band-Aid, like the actual Nelly, like face Band-Aid.
Do both.
Go wear the backwards Rams jersey.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Oh, shit. Holy fuck.
Joey's back into the conversation. The backwards Ram jersey got him into the podcast. Yeah. God bless him.
I do remember, man, I think it started as a single, had Country Grammar and, like, Greed, Hate, Envy, and, like, the first hearing that and just giving a spin, and, like, man, I was like, this was fun, and especially having that, just, like, being proud that Nelly was coming from St. Louis.
Somebody from St. Louis made it.
Right.
Yes, finally.
Yeah. It was those were exciting times as a in middle school and stuff for me and but yeah.
Yeah, that was the middle school days because I remember listening to it on the bus, cranking like the little boombox and all that.
Well, and then you see like a couple years later, Hot in Here, you see that like on MTV. Right. You know what I mean, you see like the music, you're like, oh, this dude's from St. Louis, like. You know, not to say, like, you don't see other
acts. It gives you hope a little bit.
You're like, oh, dude, somebody did something out of St. Louis? That's really cool. Just like, whenever I saw, Story of the Year music video for the first time, I'm like, oh, this dude's from St. Louis doing something awesome.
That's a creepy Page Avenue. That's where I'm
at. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know? Right. I know that place. Like, that's a street.
I've been there.
That's the name of a street. By God.
I can also recall when Nelly was on Cribs and, like, his home in Lake St. Louis there.
Right,
So that was even crazier for me because it's like it's 5 minutes from my house or whatever, it's like, so that's pretty crazy stuff. But yeah, man, I don't know, that's fun. It's just cool to see that kind of stuff and gets you excited that people can do this, wherever they are, they can come out of St. Louis and make it and do some things.
So it's settled. We're going to learn right with
it. And then if it's popular enough, we'll cover their songs.
Right.
We'll make money off of your work. Yeah.
Please don't sue us.
You can't.
Yeah. Can't?
Nope.
Did you know that bars have to pay a retainer? Yes. I did not know that.
They have to pay the blanket license. That's why we can't get sued for it.
Hell yeah. Right. America.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a... I think actually just recently there was
how did you not know that? How long have you been doing this and you just didn't know?
Like, I don't own a bar. It doesn't matter to me. I show up and then I play and they pay me. It's they get sued. That's up to them.
Right.
I think just recently there was one of the bars that got in trouble. Like somebody was, whatever it was, they cited them for not paying their fees and the band played covered material and stuff and like
right.
And so yeah, it's legit, man. It's a business. You gotta
Todd's.
Yeah,
we played at Todd's Canteen. It's a little place in Cedar Hill, and he got sued recently because of it. And he had to shut down playing music until he paid his bullshit fine or something. He had to pay, and then he got to bad bands again or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you gotta pay ASCAP, BMI, or CCI.
That's why we had to wait a week last time. Like, we waited to play because he had to make sure that the thing cleared so he didn't get sued.
Damn.
That sucks.
Yeah.
See what you guys. You know
what
they did.
What it doesn't cover is
he made a loss that night for us playing.
you can play chord changes. You just can't put melody over
it. Put the words over it, like John Mayer when he's doing that.
Well, no, you can't. You can't do like Sweet Child of Mine. You couldn't play the opening riff.
No.
No, but you can. You can just play. Dum dum. Yeah, you can play the chord changes. That's it. But like that would be pretty boring to watch.
on Conan, he has a. He occasionally will play it, and it's a great comedy bit, and but it's trying to get around playing the copyrighted material, the basic cable band versions of the songs
that
they do, and like so like they'll play, and then like that's a they'll have a guy come in and like sing up words over the song that kind of sound like the real words, and then like if you can guess what that song is and stuff, and like so it's a really funny thing, but. It allows them to do it without having to pay any copyrights and stuff, and it's pretty funny. Well, anyway, you can get involved, like I said, with Breakdown Shakedown online on Facebook and get you all your dates. But you can come see these guys this weekend, January 26th at Kirkwood Station, Kirkwood Brewing Station.
Kirkwood Station Brewing Company.
There it is.
From 9 to 1.
Some form
right?
of those words.
Yeah.
I think we're 8 to 12 there.
Is it 8 to 12?
Mm-hmm. All
right. And if not, get there at 8, and then by the time we start at 9, you'll be drunk. So yeah, that'll work out.
Well, that was that.
Sound much better.
Well, that was the case because I showed up thinking you guys had another hour.
Okay.
And you guys.
It's an early crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 8 to 12.
Yep.
8 to 12.
And then, yeah, if you're you know anybody in Tulsa, tell them to come out on the 27th.
Seriously, here's the deal. If somebody hears this, and then they get somebody from Tulsa to come to the show, I will buy them all personally like a round of drinks, because that'll be impressive. But you got to say that you heard this on Rock Paper Podcast.
There you go.
There it
Challenge
is.
Challenge out.
I dare you.
Yep.
Somebody tells like 300 people show up, yeah, like right. $1,500 in drinks.
But this has been a ton of fun, guys. I appreciate you doing this, getting to hang out and talk shop. So
yeah, thanks for awesome. Coming.
Thanks for coming all out here.
Thanks for having us out or on. Yeah,
he came out. We're on.
Yeah. Pat wanted to say in, but
guys.
Oh, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay, bye.
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 Hey, everybody. This is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out. Come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.